why we worship this morning. That's why he's worthy of worship. Let's stand and sing this great hymn for offertory. Worthy of worship.
Glad hour to take to come to know you and receive you as our Savior. God, we pray for one to bring the message, to speak through him, and may he have open hearts to receive thy message. We pray for our offering, God, that it might go for them, given thy kingdom. Give us now, Lord, for when we fail you, we'll come give you all the praise and honor for these things. We ask thy name, thy sake. Amen.
Amen.
To be with your family.
Amen.
And y'all are my family, and I just miss y'all so much.
Amen.
Pray for me as I try to share this song with you, because no matter what we go through, there's one thing that everyone can do, and the government can't keep us from, is we can pray.
Amen.
Oh, the silence doesn't mean that he's not listening. And the darkness doesn't mean that he is gone. 'Cause he's promised he would never, ever leave us. And you've never spent one moment on your own. So pray now, right here in the storm, he's still the same. Pray now, there is strength and power in Jesus' name. So pray now.
Good to be back again today. It's good to be with you. You know, today is the National Day of Prayer for Vacation Bible School. It was mentioned earlier about Vacation Bible School, about your Vacation Bible School coming up. And so I want to honor that request that we would pray for those that are teaching and working in Vacation Bible School, that God would move in a great way. So if I could just take a personal privilege and ask those that are working in any kind of capacity, I don't care if you're mixing Kool-Aid, which is the best job, but anything you're doing in Vacation Bible School, if you're working in Vacation Bible School, if you're just stand and remain standing so that we can pray for you. Anybody working this year in Vacation Bible School? It's a big staff, isn't it? It takes a lot of work to do Vacation Bible School in our church. Let's pray. Let's pray for these that are standing. Father, thank you so much for this day and the privilege of being in your house today. Lord, just in a couple of weeks, this place is going to be filled with excitement as children and young people and adults come for Vacation Bible School. Lord, there are children and family members all around this church, literally within a mile, within 2 miles, folks that are lost that desperately need the gospel. Yes. Father, I pray that Boone's Creek would reach out in their community with great love and compassion and reach out and tell boys and girls and their families about the loving Father who gave His Son for them. Now, Father, I pray, God, for each one. I pray, God, that you'd bless them for their labors. So, Lord, that you would just provide for them, Lord, and just give energy and strength and patience and long suffering and all the fruits of the Spirit during this week, especially as they minister. And, God, may you give them fruit for their labor. Lord, may we see many come to faith
through Vacation Bible School. We thank you and we praise you this day. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Well, about 3 weeks ago, yesterday, I was down in Calhoun and Tim was down there with me, and we conducted my father's funeral. And the night before, we had a time together where we were coming together for receiving of friends. And that's always, you know, that's always sort of a good time. It's a lot of time, frankly, it's a time you reconnect with a lot of people. And Tim and I, we had an old high school friend that reconnected. And I'm just going to be honest with you. I moved from Sir Gawnsville. I was 10 years old. We moved from Sir Gawnsville and then went off to Alabama to the mission field. And then we moved back to Tennessee. And my dad pastored in there for 30 years. And there was a guy that reconnected with me over Facebook. You know, I don't know if you guys like Facebook or not, but he reconnected with me over Facebook. And frankly, I didn't remember this guy. Just to be real honest. And I was trying to say, are you from Sir Gawnsville? Are you from Calhoun? Where are you from? Well, it just got even more confusing, because just about a week before all this happened, where my dad died and this guy showed up, he sent me a message on Messenger, and he said, did you eat in a certain Mexican restaurant over on Mount Carmel on Sunday? Well, I'll tell you, I did. I ate in that Mexican restaurant. I was preaching over there for a church, and I was in that Mexican restaurant, and I'm like, what? And he said, yeah, I saw you in there. I don't even know who this guy is, what he looks like, or anything. And then we come on that Friday night. I believe it was either Friday night. It was Friday night. And he come up to me, and he said, oh, it's so good to see you. And I didn't know who he was. I'll just tell you. And sort of figured out. And so I'm thinking, okay, he's in Calhoun. Well, he confused me because he's in Mount Carmel. Again, I'm Sir Gawnsville or Calhoun. What are you doing? And who are you? And where are you from? And then he said to me, is Tim Tate here yet? And I said, I was like, how do you know Tim Tate? And then he got talking. The more he talked, we realized about the first 5 years of my elementary school that he probably, I guess, was in our class, Tim. And but it was really weird. I'll just say it was weird, Tim. And so anyway, it was a reconnecting time. You ever have those times where you just sort of, you know, you get reconnected to somebody, or you see somebody? I've sort of been thinking about that term, reconnect. And if I was going to title the sermon today, I'd talk about reconnecting. You know, I stay a lot of nights in hotel rooms, and I have to use the Wi-Fi for going and log all my activities and do all the things that I do for the Tennessee Baptist Convention, and I'm always having to reconnect, because the internet signals in hotel rooms are notoriously bad. Think about reconnect. Thinking about how that sometimes we have to reconnect on a cell phone call. You'll talk to somebody and you lose them, and they call you back. They say, sorry about that. Yeah, so you have to reconnect. We reconnect with old friends. We reconnect. When I first bought a weed eater, I bought a weed eater, the kind of weed eater that you have an electrical cord to, and you attach about five together, and you can go from here to Cracker Barrel over if you attach enough of them, and you just pull barely, and all of a sudden, whap, they come into, and you got to go back in. Reconnect, or perhaps you're like, maybe you think about Chevy Chase, since he's on the roof of American Christmas Vacation, and he has to reconnect all those plugs and reconnect. Well, this spring, as I was doing my personal daily quiet time with the Lord, I spent time this year really in the prophets, but especially the minor prophets. Because those are some passages and some books of the Bible. Sometimes we sort of neglect. You know, we'll do it, read the Bible through, and if we get through all the laws, and we get through all that, and then we come to some wisdom material, we like that. And then we get the prophets, and Ezekiel gets wild with us, and all the things spinning, and we say, oh, let's move the New Testament. And we miss all the wonderful things that's in there. And the minor prophets. Well, this year in the springtime, I just spent time in the minor prophets, and the word that kept coming to me through the minor prophets was reconnect. God was calling his people, reconnect. Reconnect to me. People, you've strayed, you've wandered, you've gone far away. Come back to this love relationship, and I'll come back to you. And then not just that, he says to them, beyond that, he says, and you got to reconnect also to one another. You got to reconnect and treat people right. You got to reconnect And let your relationship with me be reflected in how you treat people. And then you take it another step further, and he will talk about reconnecting to the alien or to the stranger, to the outsider. And we move the New Testament. When you move the New Testament, that same theme continues to reverberate in the New Testament. Reconnect. Let me give you, I'm going to go quickly, and the guys on the screen, if you want to keep up, good luck. But I want to give you just a little bit of a flavor of what some of those passages that just sort of grabbed my attention from the minor prophets. Here's some of these. Zechariah 1:3. Therefore say to them, says the Lord of hosts, return to me, says the Lord of hosts, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Zechariah 7:9 and 10. Thus says the Lord of hosts, execute true justice. Show mercy and compassion, everyone, to his brother. Do not oppress the widow or the fatherless, the alien or the poor. Let none of you place evil in his heart against his brother. Hear that theme? Zechariah is saying, return to me. But hey, as you return, let's treat each other right. Malachi 3, 6, and 7. For I am the Lord, I do not change. That's good to underline that. I do not change, says the Lord. His word does not change. Therefore, you are not consumed, O sons of Jacob, yet from the days of your forefathers, you've gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. Amos 5, 21 through 24, I hate, I despise your feast days, and I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and your grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fatted peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. He's saying all this outward worship, you're going through all the motions, you're singing the songs, you're playing the instruments, but your heart's not right, he says. He said, but let justice roll down like water and righteousness like a mighty stream. I want to see a change in your life, he's saying. Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O man, what is good and what does the Lord require of you, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with your God. In Hosea 6:4, your faithfulness is like a morning cloud and like the early dew, it goes away. That's a lot of us, isn't it? That's a lot of our relationship with God. We get excited in the worship service, and about the time we hit the door and somebody cuts us off in a parking lot, or somebody's not nice to us, and they take too long in the restaurant, and we done forgot what all we were excited about the Lord. That's about it. Burns off like the morning dew, he says. And then he says in verse 6, Hosea 6:6, for I desire mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. I want to see your life change. All in all, the minor prophets have that theme. It's a theme that says, return and I'll return to you. But make sure that you see the big picture. It's really the big picture of the great commandment. To love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength. But then to love our neighbor as we love ourselves. You love God. Don't claim to love God and then not show how you treat others. How can you claim to love God if you don't love others who you see? We read in the New Testament. Amen. So God's got a word for us. And he's got a word even for us in this hour this morning. It's the word about returning. Return to me. I want to give you just quickly on us to talk about reconnecting. And we start thinking about reconnecting with God. That we reconnect with God. For some of us today, we need to hear this today, because for some of us, our spiritual life is not what it ought to be. Our spiritual lives are dry. It's cold. Things are not the way it used to be. Perhaps there was a time we were really excited, on fire for the Lord. We were excited. We were talking to people about Christ. But for some reason, we're no longer nearly as excited. And frankly, we've grown cold. Reconnect. You say, well, wait just a minute, Pastor. I am a Southern Baptist, and I believe that we don't lose our salvation. Some of those others may teach that. That's true. I agree with you. I agree with perseverance of the saints. I don't believe that we will lose our salvation. But one thing for sure is that we can lose the joy of our salvation.
Amen.
We can lose the joy of our salvation. And frankly, if you're a Christian and you live a carnal lifestyle, you'll be so miserable, you'll be worse than a lost person.
Right.
You'll be at that state. You know, and I think about David. You think about David and the story of how you know his story. And we don't have time to go on all that, but David and Bathsheba, as he messes up there, and then he has Uriah killed, and you know that story, and he thinks he's got it all hid, and along comes Nathan the prophet to give him the little story about the lamb that was taken and killed, and he gets real mad, and Nathan says, "You are the man, you're the guy who did this." And God pierces his heart with his sin. God opens his eyes to see, "I am the man who has sinned," and he stands before God. And in that prayer, and in Psalm 51, you have that prayer as David cries out to God, and he says, "God, cleanse me of my sin, blot all of my unrighteousness away from me. Take it all, and God, wash me clean." And part of the prayer he says, "Restore to me the joy of my salvation."
Right.
I'll tell you something. That's what some of us need today. We need it. And you say, "Well, I'm not done quite as bad as David." Now, David. David committed adultery. David had a man killed, basically premeditated murder. David did those kind of things, and I'm not done those kind of things. Well, I want to tell you something, friend. Sin is sin before a holy, righteous
Amen.
God. And if we have allowed sin to creep into our lives and we're living in such a way that does not honor him, and it may be that nobody else even knows what you are about and what you're doing, but God knows that's enough. And it will rob you of your joy.
Right.
Now along comes another prophet. Another prophet penned the words from God our Father, who says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are as like scarlet, they shall be white as snow. They are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." Come, God says, let's talk about this. Let's talk about it. And God's saying, "Well, you need to come and let's see it from my perspective and see sin for what it really is." And God's saying, I'll give you what you need, and that's grace. I'll give you what you need. We sang about it this morning. We heard about it this morning. God says, "I will give you that grace, but come, let's reason together." Stop running from God. Stop acting as if everything is fine and dandy. Stop living that kind of life. Get honest before God, he's saying. Come, he says. God doesn't want his children estranged from him. God doesn't want us wandering in a far land. God doesn't want us separated from him because of our sins. He doesn't want that. In Luke chapter 15, we come along, we have those three parables back to back to back that Jesus tells us. He first of all tells us about a shepherd who has a lost sheep. Then he tells us about a woman who's lost a coin. Then he tells us about a father, frankly, in my opinion, a father that had lost two sons. He had lost one son who went off and wasted his living and all that he had in a sinful lifestyle, but his other son, his heart was far from him. Though he had not left the premises, his heart had certainly left the premises. He didn't have the heart of a father. And that's the story, that's even the emphasis of that parable. And you read that and you see this, the desire of God. And in this picture, you have this picture of God. God is like the shepherd who rejoices over the lost sheep. One of his flock that's wandered off, and he comes back and he rejoices. He's like the woman who has 10 coins and loses a coin. It's her coin. She reclaims it and she rejoices. He's like that woman, and he is certainly like the father.
Right.
He says, "Welcome home, son. My arms are open wide. I will run and meet you." And he will also go into the backyard to the son who didn't leave the house, who has not left the premises just so, and he will bid him come. Come back inside and join the party. There's grace. There's grace for the one who's wasted his life in sinful living. And my friend, there is grace for the man, the woman that sits in the pew that never leaves the premises, but their heart has grown cold. And he says, "Come. You're my child. Let's join the party. Let's get our relationship right. Come, let us reason together." You know, some today need to reconnect with the Father. Some need to reconnect for the first time. Some need to connect with Him. Some have never accepted Christ as their Savior. Some need to be connected to Him. And when we get to the end, we'll talk about that. But the second part we talk about is we need to reconnect with the family of God. And that's part of that emphasis of the minor prophets. He says, "You know what, when I'm calling you to return to me, understand that if you return to me, it's going to impact how you treat other people." Zechariah 7:9, show mercy and compassion everyone to his brother. Let none of you plant evil in his heart against his brother. Let's treat each other right, he says. Let's get these relationships right. You know, one of the hardest things that I have to deal with in my work with Tennessee Baptist and my work as a former pastor is one of the hardest things that we have to deal with is church conflict, where churches are feuding and churches are fighting and people are at odds with each other. Nothing is so discouraging to the body of Christ as church conflict. I don't think anything quite breaks the heart of the Father. I just know as a father of my own two children, now if they're really fighting, not wrestling. Wrestling's what Tim and I used to do growing up. You wrestle. That's the thing you see on TV. You wrestle. That's okay. That's good and healthy. But when you are actually undermining and being vicious and evil to each other, it grieves the heart of the Father. And that so grieves the heart of God. I hear the call of God to reconnect, and I hear him talk to us in the church to say, there's some things that we need to do. We need to reconnect to each other. Let me just give you a couple things very quickly, a couple things. What would it look like if we reconnected to one another? Well, first of all, I think it would look like that we would start by truly showing appreciation to one another. Then we would so value each other that we would let others know how much we appreciate what they do and how much they mean to us. Not just at certain times, but just as God pricks your heart and you let them know that. If God has given you this gift, please exercise it and do it. But God, one of the most precious things that God used to do for me as a pastor was he would put people in my church that had the gift of writing the most encouraging notes to me. And they would write notes like, you don't know what the sermon, you'll never know how much the sermon meant today. It spoke to my heart. God must have spoke that sermon straight to you for me. You don't know what that does for a preacher. Amen. To know that perhaps you are part of the instrumentation of God in a person's life. A Sunday school teacher, when is the last time that you told your Sunday school teacher who spends hours of preparation how much you appreciate them? And you might say, well, they don't spend hours of preparation. You start telling them how much you appreciate them and how much it means to you, they might start preparing more. When is the last time you told your deacon how much he means to you? Appreciation, that's where it starts. I think it also starts, it will look like what it will look like. It will start to look like in the church when differences are settled. When people put aside their differences and when they say, you know what's most important is that we want God's glory done in this place more than what we would want. When we put aside any kind of differences and any kind of harsh things that might have been said, I will tell you what, friends and folks can find the wildest things to fuss about in the Baptist church. This past week I heard about a lady that was really, really angry with some other people in the church. They came in and they used some things in their kitchen. At the church. And then they washed the dishes in there, and they were going to let them sit outside there on a counter and dry, and then they were going to put them up. They were coming them back to put them up, but this lady got really, really mad that they did not put the dishes back in the cabinets, and she was ready to quit on the hospitality committee. Man. I'll tell you something. It happens every week. It happens every week in our churches where people get themselves bent out of shape, get bent out over things so minute. Somebody gets lifted out of a bullet. Somebody, this little thing. And before long, we just come as ugly as a world. Settle our differences. I think also, what would it look like if we reconnected at its most basic level? Then I think that we would reconnect with the wayward, with the people that used to attend that don't attend. Average Baptist Church, it's a shame. We look at membership roles. We look, first of all, we sometimes say, so how many members you got at church? That figure is the most worthless figure on the face of the earth. How many members you got?
Right.
We couldn't find most of them. So you go slice that in half, and then you find, all right, well, how many arrested members do we have? And then so with them, you say, well, they're arrested, but I don't know where they are. And then we drop down and we get a Sunday school enrollment. And then for the Sunday school enrollment, we drop down to about 40 to 50%. If you're doing really good in the church, you're running maybe 50% of your Sunday school enrollment. And you look around and you say, okay, our membership is, total membership is 500. Our rest of membership is about 350 or 400. Our Sunday school enrollment's about 300. And we have 150 in Sunday school. What happened with all that? Well, part of what happens with that, some of the things we described about conflict and things like that, but I'll tell you what. The truth is, people really do want to go to places where they know they're wanted. And when they miss, then they're missed. The average Southern Baptist, when they miss church 3 straight weeks, if they're not contacted by somebody, if they've missed 3 straight weeks and nobody contacts them, they'll never return to church. So, who has been missing? First of all, who's been missing from your Sunday school class? Teachers and class outreach leaders. Who's been missing? If you took your role, it's a good thing to do today. If you took your role and said, okay, who was out today? And I took my role and I go home and I say, okay, I'm going to call these folks. Maybe even have a quick meeting after the service and say, let's divide up our list. We're going to call and find out. We're going to say, hey, Joe, I noticed you weren't in Sunday school today or church today. Is everything okay? Are you sick? Man, we missed you. You have no idea what that would mean. Deacons, I don't know if you do deacon family. I won't prowl into your business, but if you got a deacon family list, how often do you call through your list just to say, I just want to call and check on you. How you doing? Man, I'm so glad you're a member of our church. We need you. You're so important in our church. When's the last time you did that? I noticed that I read your stream and it said, and I like what you do, the pictorial directories. I love that idea. You take your pictures and you put new people in there. When is the last time you actually sat down, church member, and with your pictorial directory and flipped them and said, oh, I've not seen them. I'm going to call and see how they're doing. Doesn't matter if they're in your class or not. This is not such a large church. We don't have 2,000 people here this morning. You can pretty well look around and see who's here and who's not. That's what it would look like if we reconnected. And during a time where a pastor's absent, it's a prime time for folks to fall through the cracks, for them to go looking around other churches and all those kind of things. It is a fine time for people to do that. And I urge you, Boone Street, don't let that happen. Yeah. I urge you, don't let folks fall through the crack. That you look around and see who's missing and say, we've got to have you. You're important to us. We love you here. You're part of our family. The last thing is reconnecting with the lost. You've got to reconnect to the lost. We know the Great Commission, but frankly, it's a great omission in most of our lives and our churches. Great Commission, go into all the world, preach, baptize, disciple. We know all those things. In so many ways, we've disconnected from the lost. I understand it. I was listening to Charles Taylor this morning just a little bit, heard his introduction before I left the house. I don't know if you're watching Charles. Just heard the first of it. I didn't get you the rest of it, but I figure I know where he went in the rest of it, which he said some good stuff, I know. Charles is great. But early on, he was talking about being careful about our friendships and being careful about the people we hang out with because they will then shape us and how we are and things. Be careful around critical people and those kind of things. And I get it. I grew up also with a mom and dad that said, you got to watch out who you hang out with. But sometimes in church, we take that too far. And the only people we hang out with are Christians and church people. We will never reach lost people if we don't connect with some lost people.
Amen.
We got to put some lost people in our lives. There's got to be some lost folks out there. There's going to be some lost neighbors that you say, come over, let's have a hamburger, let's grill out. And you
Build a relationship. Don't shove Jesus down their throat, but shove love down their throat and let them know that Jesus lives within you. They're going to want what you've got. Don't be scared about all that.
Right.
But look around and who's your neighbors? Who don't go to church? You pulled out this morning. Whose car was still in the driveway? Whose car, when you get back, has obviously not been moved? Invite them over then. Let's grill out. It's summertime. It's a great time to grill out. So let's come over. Let's have a hamburger. It would mean the world to people. Find some lost people. Let me give you several places you can find lost people, since we're not real good at it. Because right now, if I were to say, all right, you got to list 5 lost people that you know before you get out the door, we would be here for a while. Let me give you some places. This past week, we did three tours on Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, touring different places that we're doing ministry. Saw some of these places. First place that you can find lost people. You want to go? You want to say, "Oh no, lost people! Where can you send me to find lost people, preacher?" Jail. The jail's a good place. They really are. I was in the Sullivan County Jail on Thursday. I busted out of jail to come preach to y'all today. But I was there Thursday. Sullivan County Jail, just over in Blockville. Main part of the jail's got 600 inmates. Another part, an annex, has 200 more. 800 over there. Kent Pugh will put you in contact with folks. Across Tennessee, we're trying to connect churches to inmates that are getting released. It's the Department of Corrections in Tennessee is begging churches to adopt an inmate to come alongside. And you'll have that inmate, you'll have their family, there are lost people out there. That's one place to look. I would tell you the homeless. Look around for homeless people. You say, I can't find homeless people. Well, they're out there. They're out there, but sometimes you don't see them. We don't see them. I went down to Chattanooga a few weeks ago, and I went out with a guy called, his name is Dylan Burroughs, of the ministry Burroughs, who's part of Relevant Hope, the ministry there. And we met, we cooked this big meal, we bagged up this meal, and we went out under bridges, underpasses, and out in woods, and we found all these homeless people and carried on gospel conversations with them. They are out there. You say, well, I'm a little scared of all that. Okay. The poor. Poor folks. We've had this part of our problem is that we've become more economically, and we've risen on the economic scale. And a lot of times now, poor people don't feel so comfortable in our church anymore. They don't dress like us. And they're out there. They're out there over at the Johnson City Baptist Center. Right there, right on Hobson Street in Johnson City. You have people there that you can minister to. All around you are people you can minister to. But just let me just conclude by saying, really, there's lost people probably all around you, your neighbors, and in your family. Now let's go back to Vacation Bible School. There are children who desperately need the gospel. Did you know that if current trends continue, that only 1 of 10 of those born after 9/11 will ever accept Christ? Now think about that. That means if we were to line up 10 children that have been born since 9/11, line them up across the front of your church, on average, only 1 of those would know Christ in their lifetime. 9 of those would die and go to a devil's hell. We must open our eyes and see lost people. We must open our hearts and say, whatever it takes, we will do it to reach the next generation.
Right.
Our children. How can we sit back and let our own children and our own grandchildren go to hell? How can we do it? It ought to put us on our knees, begging the Lord to move in their lives. And more than that, it ought to put the gospel on our lips, and we ought to be telling them. You can't make them and you can't drag them, but you can live the example and you can love them and they can see the difference in your life. They need Jesus. They need Jesus. Reconnect. Reconnect. Our Father calls us to reconnect to Him,
He calls us then to reconnect to each other as a church, as a family, and he calls us to reconnect to the lost. So, who do you need to reconnect with today? Do you need to reconnect with God? Things are not the way they ought to be. You're just saying, I need to come, I need to get on the altar. I need to reconnect. Is it another believer? There's been some harsh words. There's been some differences. And maybe it's time to go to that person. Maybe not right here, because it's going to take a while to talk it out. But would you commit yourself that you're going to reconnect? Or would you be honest enough to say, I have not shared the gospel in so long, I can't tell you the last time I shared it. I got to reconnect to some lost people. Oh, God, open my eyes to see lost people. Let's pray together. Father, today, as we come together, we hear the call to reconnect. And Lord, this day, that would be our desire. Lord, some of us need to reconnect to you right now. The truth is, it's like right now, some of us are feeling like that preacher, how do you know that? I didn't know it, but you know it. So, Lord, you spoke. So now, Lord, help us not to ignore your voice. Lord, this day, there's some of us that would have to admit that we need to reconnect with some folks here within our fellowship, within our church. Some of us have maybe said harsh things to one another. Or, Lord, it may be that we have let some people fall by the wayside and we've just said, we sat around and said, I wonder what happened to them. But we never once reached out to say, I love you. Don't. Where are you? We love you. And Lord, for some of us, it's been so long since we saw a lost person, even talked to a lost person. Not only have we not even talked to them about you, we've not invited them to church. We just hardly say, well, we don't hardly know anybody like that. Oh God, would you open our eyes to see that 80% of the people today right here in Johnson City didn't go to anybody's church today, and a good percentage of those were lost. Now, Lord, there could be somebody here today that doesn't know you, and I pray that today would be the day that they come to know you, that they would connect to you, that they would see the need, and maybe, Lord, they just say a simple prayer that, Lord, I know that I'm separated from you. Sin has separated me from you, and I don't want to be separated from you. I want to be connected to you. So forgive me of my sins. I believe in you, Jesus. I trust you as my Savior. Come into my life and save me. Oh God, would you speak to hearts today? Would we be obedient? And would we reconnect this day? We pray. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand and sing our hymn of invitation. Let us stand.
We hope you enjoyed this week's message, and if you will, you may share this video with a friend or family member. If you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, it's the best decision you'll ever make. It's just simple. A, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. B, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And C, confess Him as your Savior. And you can pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I'm a sinner. I've done wrong. I need you. And you died for me on the cross and promised to save me. If I'd only trust you, I do trust you, Jesus. Come into my heart. Forgive my sins. Save my soul, so I can go to heaven when I die. If you prayed that prayer, you can notify us. We have some materials we'd like to share with you and get you started right in your Christian faith. To learn more about our church, just again, visit us on the website, boomscreekbaptist.org, and don't forget to check back with us next Sunday for the message of the hour. God bless.